The designated hour having arrived, I call to order this regular meeting of AnswerLink's Quorum Forum podcast, the podcast local governments need to do business. In the chair, it's me, Daniel J. Boland. On the agenda today, it's rules learned and applied during the pandemic. But first, let's take the roll. Behind the glass for our protection, Engineer Rick is present. We have a quorum. Dear listener, libraries and other local governments have adapted and are adapting novel circumstances associated with the novel coronavirus. That's why AnswerLink partner Britt Isley shared rules and laws learned and applied during the pandemic at the 2021 Illinois Library Association Conference in October. Britt represents numerous Illinois public libraries and library districts, both in corporate and litigation settings, and he is a former elected library trustee for the Village of Lake Bluff. Britt talked about pandemic time policies for public meetings, employment, and library patrons, and unfortunately, many of the policies Britt discussed in October are still relevant during the Omicron surge today. Fortunately, the policies Britt discussed are relevant to all local governments and not just libraries, and that's why we're pleased to share Britt's discussion with you today on AnswerLink's Quorum Forum podcast. We'll share a few updates with you after Britt's talk, but without further ado, here's Britt Isley at the 2021 Illinois Library Association Conference. Engineer Rick, roll it.
Hi, good afternoon. My name's Britt Isley. I'm an attorney with the law firm AnswerLink, and I'm giving you a presentation today remotely from my office about new employment rules that we've learned over the age of COVID that libraries have incorporated, both library rules, rules regarding public board meetings, and regarding patrons that we've learned over COVID and that unfortunately we've had to institute through today, through October 14, 2021. So I'm happy to, at the end of this, take your questions. I'm hoping that along the way you can write them down and provide them. Since this is a pre-recorded presentation, I'm probably going to be following along just like you during the presentation, and at the end, I'll take questions. So please gather your questions at the end and let me know what they are. I represent a variety of libraries, library districts, local libraries, school libraries, and my firm represents local governments in Illinois. And so we've had to adapt just as you have through this whole pandemic and coming up with new policies and following the governor's executive orders and guidance, and then just trying to, you know, keep our heads above water. And I think many of these policies may be stretched and used into normal times once we're out of the pandemic. So I was hoping when I wrote this presentation about 8 or 9 months ago that we would be out of the woods and we could laugh about some of the funny things that we've had to do over the pandemic to get through it. Unfortunately, because of the Delta variant, things have gotten worse and we've had to buckle down more than we did even a year ago. So I hope everyone can see my presentation. Along the way, you'll see the first slide we're talking about, and then the next slide I'll be going to. And along the way, if I have any footnotes, you'll see those as well. You may or may not be able to see me. That's not so important. So let's just dig in, and I'll talk to you about what really we've seen in this pandemic. The presentation is divided into three parts. The first part is about how local boards, boards of trustees have been able to adapt during the pandemic, how libraries have been able to structure employment rules and policies because of the pandemic. And thirdly, how we've been able to deal with our patrons along the way. And At first, of course, this was a question of masking and being safe and social distancing, and it has morphed now into vaccinations and vaccination mandates and vaccination passports. These are all things now we talk about and hear about in the news. So we'll be talking about those things along the way. And I think I hit on all these things. We'll be talking about these along the way. But let's talk about this this probably familiar-looking graph to you. This is the real reason we're talking about all of this, is because of these spikes in COVID-19 infections. And we've seen several of them since January of 2020. This is a graph that covers from January of 2020 until October 3rd, 2021. And we've seen three big peaks so far. The first biggest one in the middle was in December of 2020. The next one after that was a smaller peak in March of 2021, earlier this year. And second largest peak since January of 2020 was the late summer fall peak of 2021. And this essentially is a visual graph of the motivation that we've had as a country and as a state and as local governments to institute things to protect our public and to protect our employees. So along the way, we'll be talking about not only local government library policies, but also federal government initiatives. So just as another statistic, in terms of Illinois, as of October 4th of 2021, this month, we've seen 14.6 million vaccinations so far. There have been over 19,000 confirmed variant cases of COVID-19, the bad Delta variant. And we have a 2.2 case positivity rate. And I'll have to say that as a state, we're still in a code red situation. There are only three counties, Greene, Putnam, and Alexander, that have only substantial transmission, meaning that it's one level less than the code red. So let's just jump in and talk about library boards. Remote meetings. This has been the hot topic of the last several months. Remote meetings so far this year in 2021 have helped libraries continue to operate throughout the pandemic. And by remote meetings, I don't mean the electronic attendance of meetings that you may have had as a policy before the pandemic. I'm talking about a 100% non-need of a quorum meeting. And this has been allowed first by the governor and then eventually an amendment to the Open Meetings Act. And we'll talk about that. And the questions are still bubbling up about whether we can meet remotely. I know that most of you are probably meeting in person by now and using social distancing and masks. But there are still possibilities for using an all virtual meeting in the future. And we'll give you some guidance about how to use them moving forward. So conducting a remote meeting, let's talk about this. This year, Governor Pritzker, and we're all familiar with Governor Pritzker's executive orders that he comes out with at the end of every month, and his regular every 30-day declaration proclamation, which he must use in order to use the emergency powers that he has. And frankly, it's because of that emergency power that he's able to also promote policies about masking and other things having to do with the pandemic. So we've seen both at the same time, both a declaration of an emergency at the same time as a executive order. But starting on July 23rd of 2021, Governor Pritzker both declared the pandemic to be a state disaster and issued his own executive order allowing Illinois governments to meet remotely. And all the local government had to do, they did have to have either the director or the legal counsel, one member of the trustees there. But otherwise, you had no quorum. You had to have, you know, public participation allowed. And you had to have a finding that it was not practical or prudent to have an in-person meeting at the library. But that went away after July 23rd of 2021. Since then, in his subsequent executive order orders, Governor Pritzker has not permitted virtual meetings. Instead, the Open Meetings Act has changed, and specifically Section 7E has been amended to allow for virtual meetings only under certain circumstances. And we'll talk that about that in a minute. But it, I want to be clear, we were all kind of relying about on these executive orders, but after July 23rd of 2021, where all up until that point, the governor had been saying that local governments could meet remotely, he stopped saying that. Many people read into that to mean that we couldn't do it anymore. That's not the case. We can continue to do it under certain circumstances under 7E, Section 7E of the Open Meetings Act, and we'll get to that. 7E means that the head of the public body has to make an individual determination for each meeting whether it should meet remotely. So in other words, that's one of the elements. Another essential element is that the governor has issued a disaster proclamation for that month. It has to be an emergency under his emergency powers. And it can be either the governor or the Illinois Department of Public Health. Either way, a public health department, the governor, as long as there is an emergency declaration, and there is then a finding, not of practical or prudence, that it can't be met, but it's not feasible during a disaster to have an in-person meeting. That's what 7E says. And I would encourage you to talk with your legal counsel about having ongoing virtual meetings, because they can still happen. And in fact, the governor continues to issue these disaster proclamations that there's an emergency in the state of Illinois. But in addition to that, and I'll go back a slide, the element that requires the director or someone in the board to have a finding would require your board to actually provide findings and conclusions during the meeting. In other words, is there a you have to show local or regional vaccination rates are higher than others, that there are increasing case counts of COVID in your district, that there's a prevalence of new COVID variants in your district or your library area, or there's an increased number of hospitalizations in your area. So one or more of these things are examples of findings you must make as part of the requirement for a virtual meeting. Now, I know that many libraries, nonetheless, want to meet in person, and that's fine. But there is still this possibility of meeting remotely if you have these findings. And there are other findings under 7E that can be met pretty easily, including requirements for public attendance and public participation. But that's something that we've been able to deal with during the COVID pandemic when we've had virtual meetings. Another thing to remember is you still have electronic policies of people meeting, once you have a quorum, of members of your board meeting with you virtually when there's a reason of a personal illness or disability, when there's a family or other emergency, or because of employment purposes or business of the public body. So again, you should already have your pre-pandemic electronic meeting policy in place to allow for certain members of your of your board to meet remotely, as long as you vote on it at the beginning of the meeting and you make a finding that these are one of the reasons the person is meeting remotely. So let's talk a little bit about library employees and the legality of vaccination mandates. Vaccination mandates for employees are legal in most cases, but employers should include certain provisions in vaccination mandates. And these are some of those provisions. Proof of a vaccination should be asked for. There should be record keeping requirements. And if a person will not get vaccinated, you know, many employers we are finding are requiring testing, proof of testing negative, and keep record keeping of that negative finding. Interestingly, in a minute I'll get to it, but as of today, in October of 2021, we don't have any clients, local government clients, who are requiring vaccination, particularly of patrons, but there have been only a few cases where we have vaccination requirements for employees. So, and there are union considerations too. We'll get to that. Many of you are not unionized, but you should know that, first of all, libraries have the management right to maintain a safe work environment. That's the overarching rule. And the next rule is that libraries have the right to decide whether to implement a vaccine mandate. But the library still has the responsibility to bargain in good faith regarding vaccination policies. And some topics about bargaining may include vaccination deadlines, paid time off to receive the vaccine, and recover from any side effects. So check with your legal counsel about vaccination mandates for your library if you have a union. From a federal perspective about vaccination of employees, President Biden has issued an executive order about vaccines, and he has gone through his own federal agency called OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, to develop rules. And these are only rules with employers with 100 or more employees. And actually, the federal OSHA rules, which, by the way, the regulations as of today are not in place, but when they are in place, they won't necessarily apply to Illinois libraries. It will impact 80 million workers in the private sector, but in terms of the public sector and public libraries, we're looking to our state OSHA for their regulations, and they're waiting for the federal. So as of right now, there are no federal mandates or even guidance about vaccinations, but we expect to have them from Illinois OSHA soon. And it's hard to say right now how aggressive they'll be with their mandates. But in the past, I can tell you from experience that OSHA does not have enough workers to enforce their own rules. So chances are very thin that you would be visited by someone from Illinois OSHA in order to enforce their regulations. And we'll just have to wait for the federal regulations to come through. Let's talk a little bit about what the Supreme Court has said so far about vaccine mandates. We have, and I'm sorry I keep jumping around. I'm having trouble with these screens. We have seen one case called Maniscalco versus New York City Department of Education about New York City school staff suing the New York school system to stop vaccination mandates. The staff were required to get a COVID-19 vaccine or submit to weekly testing that had to be negative. And as a matter of fact, The staff needed to be vaccinated by October 1st of 2021 or risk removal from the payroll. They were actually told that if they're not vaccinated by October 4th, they would be fired. This went up to the Supreme Court, but Judge Sonia Sotomayor denied the emergency appeal. So they were, the New York school system was allowed to go through with its requirement that everyone be vaccinated. There's also the case of Klassen versus the trustees of Indiana University. This is the Indiana University case. Indiana created a policy that required all students, incoming students that school year, to be vaccinated. A group of students sued Indiana about that vaccination mandate. The students argued that it violated their constitutional rights of bodily and integrity, autonomy, and medical choice. It did, by the way, have the an exemption in it for religious and medical reasons. So you were able to get exempted from the vaccine mandate for religious or medical reasons. And it got to the Seventh Circuit. The Seventh Circuit Appeals, which is right here in Illinois, in Chicago, Judge Easterbrook said that those who do not want to be vaccinated may go elsewhere. And it, even though it went up to the Supreme Court, Justice Amy Coney Barrett denied the emergency appeal. So of course, this is a situation where you have school, where you have a school and you have students that are being, having a vaccine mandate. It would certainly seem to apply to employees. Governor Pritzker, now we're going on a state level. We've gone from federal with President Biden and the Supreme Court. Now we're down to state with Governor Pritzker. Governor Pritzker created an executive order saying that healthcare workers, school personnel, and higher educational personnel are required to get vaccines. It requires the first dose of the vaccine by September 19th and the second dose 30 days later. And it requires face coverings and indoors starting on August 30th. So this doesn't, by the way, apply specifically to Illinois libraries, unless your Illinois library comes in close contact with a school. I know we have at least one library in the state, Julia Hull District Library, that is a library district connected to a school district, and they share the same building, so it would probably apply to them. But if your local library or library district is not in close contact with students during the school more than 15 minutes, at least once a week on a regular basis, then it doesn't apply to you. You can quickly read what the definition of school personnel are. It's not only those employed by or the volunteers for a school, but it's also those who are in close contact with students on a regular basis. So that's really the only state vaccine mandate there is for school personnel and healthcare workers. There is no requirement for library workers so far. Telework considerations. We're still talking about employees of your library, so telework considerations are important for your employees. We would recommend, if you haven't already, edit your existing policies to reflect changes in telework, allowing your employees to work from home if they want to. By the way, this isn't required, but it's being used by so many employers in order to maintain social distancing, and particularly to, you know, keep everyone, and sometimes to reflect the numbers of patrons coming in your library. You may not need the same kind of staff you've had before. So you consider the impact of changing your policies and ask your employees how they would like them to be improved. And I would also strongly recommend you go through your legal counsel to review those existing policies or draft some new ones if you don't have them. If your employees are really asking for it and your board is interested in doing it. Although I'd have to say that this is more of a director job than a board job, since this is the day-to-day workings of your library. Illinois OSHA standards. This is kind of a reminder that Illinois OSHA requires that you report COVID-19 related fatalities within 30 days of an exposure. You report COVID-19 related hospital admissions within 24 hours of occurring at work, and record a COVID-19 case if it's work-related and the case meets certain reporting criteria. So you may want to particularly, and these are for statistical reasons and also for public health reasons, OSHA is not maintaining these records. These apply to both state and local governments, so make sure you're following Illinois OSHA standards. And if you're unsure if you are, I would suggest you go through your legal counsel or you talk to your business manager to check on it. And the state requirements, the state website is pretty easy to navigate. So, and then finally, let's talk about the last section. We talked about your board members and virtual meetings. We talked about your library employees and changes because of COVID. Let's talk about library patrons and how we're working with patrons now to keep them safe. Some of this is almost self-evident, I'd almost say. It's self-evident to us now living through this pandemic. Maybe we didn't know this before, but it only makes sense that you enforce mask wearing requirements that's been required in Governor Pritzker's executive order, that you enforce internal COVID mitigation measures such as plastic shields, enhanced sanitation, social distancing, that you review and replace signs throughout your facility, throughout the library, about mitigation measures. These are just common sense things you would think, but it's also required by Governor Pritzker. How about vaccine passports for your patrons? Is that a good idea? Many states don't require vaccine passports, and some states have even banned them. It is an administrative hassle in trying to keep track of who is vaccinated and who is not coming into your library. But we know of instances of proof of vaccination for entry, like Lollapalooza, which required the vaccine card. As the kids ran through, I saw a video of them running through the entry gates. No one really looked at them, but they appeared to hold up a white card. So you can do that in your library if you want. And there are select restaurants and bars in Chicago that are doing it. I just checked it out myself, Metropolitan Brewing, The Hideout, The Emporium, Hopewell Brewing. Second City is requiring some vaccination requirements or is putting into place policy of vaccination requirements of its visitors. And I know that the Highland Park Park District has talked about having participants in its park district programs to be vaccinated, but that's not, I don't know that that's a policy yet. And I'm not aware currently of an Illinois local library requiring proof of vaccination. I'd love to hear either in the chat box or questions at the end, if you could tell me that you know about someone. It's more than anything, it's a logistical mess because people come and go, and sometimes for a very brief period, and to require vaccinations when so many retail businesses don't require it seems to be a little a little too much of a hassle, but it can be done if you want, and it is being done under other circumstances. And anyway, I'd be happy to. I'm actually curious to hear if you have any knowledge of other libraries that do it. This is for patrons, obviously, not for employees. And follow the guidance, I would say. In other words, continue utilizing mitigation measures to prevent the spread of COVID in your library. Again, these are almost self-evident things that we've talked about before: face masks, sanitation stations, physical barriers. Follow the guidance from the Illinois Department of Public Health and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. These are all agencies that are issuing guidance to their members. And please sign on to our blogs at our law firm, the Municipal Minute and the Workplace Report. In both places, we are constantly giving you updates about state new state norms and state policies, as well as employment policies being used. And if you sign up to either one, you're going to probably hear from us once every week, once every couple weeks, with an update. And it's not just about COVID. We will give you updates about library law and bills that are being presented to the General Assembly, and cases that are coming in the courts that will deal directly with issues you deal with, including the Open Meetings Act, Freedom of Information Act, and government's policies that we deal with every day. And that's all I have. So after this recording, I would ask that you give me any questions you can, and I'll hopefully be around in the future after this is recorded. Thanks again.
Wow, thanks, Britt. Got a couple of updates on items Britt talked about during his presentation. Britt mentioned a federal vaccine mandate for large employers and healthcare workers. The U.S. Supreme Court is scheduled to hear oral arguments on January 7th in challenges to those federal vaccine mandates. And as of this recording, the Biden administration says it will begin enforcing the large employer mandate on January 10th. But the healthcare worker mandate remains on hold while the legal challenges play out. Of course, by the time you hear this, listener, things may have changed, so stay tuned. And at the time Britt recorded, Britt mentioned that vaccine requirements for business patrons were less common. But beginning on January 3rd, with limited exceptions, the city of Chicago and Cook County are now requiring proof of vaccination to access indoor settings where food or drink are served for on-premises consumption, so like bars and restaurants, but also health and fitness centers. We'll see if proof of vaccination becomes more common, but of course, local governments, do consult your legal counsel before considering imposing those requirements locally. Thanks again to Britt, but it is a regular meeting, so we do have to public comment. College senior Andy Preston writes, what does a governing board need to do to conduct a virtual meeting now that the governor no longer makes a statewide finding that in-person meetings are impractical? Well, Andy, recently the public access counselor addressed this issue in a binding opinion in favor of a local school board in response to a direct challenge to a virtual meeting. First, the PAC found that the board followed the requirements of Section 7A of the Open Meetings Act, conducting the remote meeting because, one, the governor's disaster proclamation is still in effect, two, the board president made a determination that it was not practical or prudent to hold an in-person meeting due to the pandemic, and three, the board provided access to the public through a Zoom platform. Second, the PAC noted that the The person who filed the complaint was allowed to participate in the challenge remote meeting via Zoom, and in fact spoke during public comment at that meeting. The PAC also noted that it was within the board's discretion to decide not to hold an in-person meeting, especially given the disruptive non-compliance with the mask requirement by numerous members of the public at the board's previous meetings. But the public access counselor found it was allowed to do that because the board followed the Open Meetings Act requirements. This is a good opinion for local governments that want to hold meetings without a physical quorum. Good to have that support in your pocket. We'll have a link to it in the show notes of this episode, which brings us to the Department of Public Works. I recently hosted an episode of ELGL's GovLove podcast about plan commission training with Michael Blue, a principal at Tesco Associates. Michael does a lot with the American Planning Association with plan commissioner training, and this was a great conversation about best practices for plan commissions, how a formal training session can improve the efficiency of plan commission meetings and hearings. Check out a link. It's in the show notes. Brings us to adjournment. Thank you to Britt Isley for making this such an informative, exciting episode of Answer Links Quorum Forum podcast for our local government listeners. Before we go, I want to remind everyone to subscribe and leave us a review wherever podcasts are heard. We prefer good reviews. Send us your questions and show ideas to podcasts@answerlink.com. or the Quorum Forum hotline at 312-604-9185. And as always, you can visit us online at quorumforum.anselblank.com. Can I get a motion to adjourn? So moved. Second. All in favor. The ayes have it. We'll see you next time on Ansel Blank's Quorum Forum podcast.